Next, from Fred Pineau, The Modern Day Idols and Didn't Plan It, November the 17th, Coraline Ashley, Peter Montgomery, the Eric Bazo Band, Crunch Time, 145, The Big City Rockets, and Dave Rave. And on the last night, Saturday the 18th, we have Arthur Naza, Michael Olive and the Sacred Band, Hummingbird Syndicate, Ray Paul and RPM, who should be calling in several minutes, Powerhouse, the Stanleys, and Ruxton Ritman and the Rusty Hitman. And that's at PA's Lounge this week.
And we started off the show with Dalton and the Sheriffs, our theme song, Cheap Guitars, Dave Balin of Dave Balin the Bailouts with Castaway in honor of the troops, Boston Pops with John Williams and Stars and Stripes Forever, Hero in Our Hometown by Ella Brown, and Armed Forces Band with the Armed Forces Medley. I'm going to go right into a brand new hit single by Colette O'Connor, Life is a Day at the Fair, here at WMFO in Medford.
Have I stayed too long at the fair? Where did the time disappear? So my ticket was torn. I've been on these carnival rides before. Always looked for love at a fair. It's a fanciful thought, so cavalier. Ferris wheel to the top, where couples in love get to kiss when it stops. Stop telling me it's okay. I think it's a cruel joke to me. Too ironic to miss. All alone at the top now, with no one to kiss. Fell in love with a handsome idea, but that funhouse was full of broken mirrors. Looking glass knows how to lie. Hey, I've never found love on a carnival ride. Over the crowds, it seems so clear. Up here, looking down, facing the romantic truth. That so much is wasted on you. When life is a day at the fair, life is its own love affair. Riding this world every day. Hey, I've loved what I've loved, and I won't be ashamed. So when somebody closes the rides, I'll sit on this Ferris wheel for a while, sing my own song at the fair. For life's been its own love affair, and it's simply a carnival ride.
that was Raise Paul's new single, and if we're lucky, we have him online. Ray, are you there?
Hey, hello, Boston and Medford. How are you?
It's great to hear from you. And
I'm here. Well,
it's glad we got you on. It's a little history here. Ray Paul and there was a band called RPM was around here, I believe, the late 70s, early 80s. Am I correct on that?
The band was Ray Paul and RPM, and it was there from, 78 through 81, or through 80, actually, through 1980. And then I did a solo record, left in November 81 for Los Angeles. But I lived in Boston from 1976 through the middle of November of 81.
And you had, you said, the one with RPM and a solo record out at that time, right? Correct?
Well, I had a solo single first, and then we did the band album in 1980, Go Time, and then I did a solo single in 81. With the band, we broke up in after our last show at the Paradise in July of 1980, but I'm coming back to haunt you, Boston.
And as we would say you are a power pop artist.
Well, you know, for the most part, I mean, I'm considered to be one of the pioneers of the power pop movement of the 70s when it all was kind of blossoming around 77 when I first started getting some airplay in late 77 in Boston.
Yeah.
On WCOZ back then. And but it was a great time. I mean, Boston, I have some very fond memories of Boston. Probably my favorite time in my life was all the years I spent in Boston. It was a great city, great time, and a time when, you know, if you were a pretty good local band, that the radio stations gave you some good support. Even, you know, besides the college stations, even the two major FM stations at the time.
And I just want to introduce, I'm Mike Stewart, and my co-host is
Aaron.
Hey, hello, Aaron. Nice to kind of meet you on the radio here.
Nice to meet you, too. And we also have a guest in studio, too.
Oh, yeah?
We have Rachel Marie, who'll be on after your interview.
Is this a surprise guest? Someone from my past?
No. A brand new artist coming up.
Oh, so, well, that's good too.
I got the poster for the International Pop Overthrow, and I see you're playing on the Saturday night around 9:45.
Well, years ago, yeah, I put a new band together. I had a brand new album last year. That was my first release since 2000. It was the Vitality album, which I had a lot of guest artists on. And we've been touring. We went out to Southern California last year. I did some shows in Brooklyn and the New York City area, and now we're coming to Boston. It's actually going to be my first full band show in Boston since October 1981. We're going to be doing the IPO show at PA's Lounge in Somerville, and we go on at, I guess it's all scheduled, so we go on around 9:45. PM, and there are other groups which I can't remember who, but you know, it's I guess David's been doing this festival there for a lot of years.
Yes, I actually played in a few of them myself.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Aaron might have a question for you there.
So,
all right.
Being here and starting a genre of music, what were your influences that got you into music and made you want to bring your style to the world?
Well, I think my style is an amalgamation of everything that I loved in the beginning, and, you know, you kind of toss it in a blender and kind of come out with your own thing. But when I first I learned how to sing harmony, and of course, Elvis was a big influence. And then the Beatles came along, and then all the British invasion groups and the Byrds and the Buffalo Springfield and all that. And, you know, those are all kind of things that kind of stick in you, you know. I mean, we all grew up back then, you know, with the Beatles as being really probably the biggest influence. But I like to think that, like I said, all those things kind of like, you don't try to write songs and record songs like those. You just kind of they just sort of come out. You know, it's kind of hard to explain how a song is written and how you do it, but I think it's subconsciously all these kind of influences just kind of like work together.
And what would you say to somebody who wants to get into the business today from your, you know, over 30 years worth of experience, things to do and things not to do?
Well, it's longer than that, but I'm not going to tell you how much longer. But no, I would say, you know, just, you know, it's really, I think it's tougher today than it is when it was back in the late 70s. And, you know, because there's just so many bands out there, so many groups, and there's so many ways to hear things and see things and so many cable channels, and nothing really has an impact that much anymore because it's so fragmented. Whereas years ago, you had three or four network TV stations, you had really only mainstream radio, and if you got on there, you really could make an impact. Now you've got every station in the world on the internet, which is good, you know, for some things, and it's kind of like the independent stations, the college stations, and the internet-only stations and specialty shows that, like yours, that are really pushing a lot of the great new music. So I would say, hey, just do it. Go where your heart goes, you know, and follow your heart. And that's one reason I still keep doing music, is I've been doing it a long time. And, you know, it's not to get rich or anything, but it's because I just love the fact of being able to write and record. And it's still, you know, it's still in me.
When you were in Boston, which was right before MTV, we had the great V66 in Framingham. Were you ever on there?
What was that called?
V66. Channel 66 out of Framingham. It was before...
Was that the station that had Boston Live? Was that...
They have featured videos of Boston bands right around the MTV era.
Yeah. I didn't know what to call it. I didn't know what it was called. I remember it. I thought it was Channel 68, but yeah, we were on Boston Live. If that was the channel,
that might have been Live at Night, Channel 5.
It was on at 6 o'clock. It was like a nightly news magazine show,
okay.
And every week they had a different band. We went in and we pre-recorded all the songs, and they would play the song all night. And that was just before we did our Paradise, our last show that we did as a band back then. We went in and recorded songs, and then they showed one every night. But the show aired every night from like 6 to 7. But we also did like the CBS station there. The David Brudnoy had a late night show on Sunday nights at 11:30. And a couple of other things that I can't remember. But we did a lot of video. We actually videoed a lot of the shows back then. I had some friends that were kind of early pioneers of videoing groups, and was able to put those out on DVD a few years back.
That's great.
So if people want to, before you come next week, and otherwise, to hear your music, do you have a site? Where can they get your music? And again, when will you be in?
In where? In Boston?
Yes.
We'll be in there this Saturday for the one night only. And, my music's available all over at Amazon, iTunes. You can hear it on Spotify, CD Baby, and, of course, at better record stores everywhere. But my website is permanentpress.net/Ray Paul. And you can hear tracks from my new album. I would like to just mention, if I could, the new album I did last year, which I'm very proud of, and did very well. And I had a lot of guests collaborate with me on it, co-producing and also playing. I had Clem Burke on drums from Blondie, Emmett Rhodes, Terry Draper from the band Clot 2. I don't know if you remember them. Also, Kurt Ryle and Kristen Pennell Ryle from the Gripweeds, Gar Francis from the Doughboys, Walter Clevenger. I had a lot of those guests on there, and I think it really made the album, you know, kind of a more of a collab. Okay.
That's great. We're queuing up one of your tunes, and Aaron?
Is it from the new album?
Number, you said it is Lady Be Mine Tonight.
Oh, that's an old one. Yeah. Well, that's the single. That's the single that kind of got me started back there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the single we first started getting airplay with.
So we will play that. I know you're coming in next week, this coming weekend, for the great show. You know, I'll have Mike talk to you off the air, but I want to thank you for calling in. And I also do a show at Salem State University, so I'd love to have you call in there sometime soon, too.
At which university?
Salem State University.
Oh, that's right, Salem State. I think Michael mentioned that to me before. Yeah, just sort of... I'm glad that you guys work together, and it's good to meet you. And Michael, thank you for having me on the air too. And contact me on Facebook, you know, and give me your contact information, and I'll make sure that you receive some of the releases.
Absolutely. I'm gonna go right to your single, and Mike will pick you up any moment. Thank you for calling in, Ray Paul. And again,
great,
he's
thanks.
On when on Saturday?
He is on at 9:45 this Saturday, November 18th.
Yeah,
that's the IPO at PA's Lounge. And that night features, that's the festivities start at 7:30 and go past midnight. We have Athanasia, Michael Auer and the Sacred Band, Hummingbird Syndicate, Ray Paul and the RPM, Powerhouse, the Stanleys, and Huxton Rittman and the Rusty Hitmen. It's going to be a great night. Please come down to PA's. Go up to Ray Paul, shake his hand, buy his merchandise, and say hello from WMFO.
Yeah, we have the what I call the Goldilocks spot. It's not too early and not too late.
That is the premier spot.
Right in the middle there, yeah. Well, it's my first return with the full band and the new Ray Paul and RPM band. So I'm really looking forward to, hopefully a lot of old friends will be coming out, and we'll have a good crowd and a good night, and looking forward to coming back to Boston after all these years again.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
And you have a safe trip, and have a great show next week.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Thanks again.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm not afraid to die. Stranded halfway between Mercury and Pluto, Miss Frizzle and her gang of second graders have no way back to Earth until they remember that radio waves never die. Guided by the freeform stylings of WMFO, the Magic School Bus Gang safely makes it back towards Earth. To avoid future field trip mishaps and to help keep WMFO running strong, write a check to Trustees of Tufts College and send it to WMFO, Attention, Donation, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts 02155, or give online at support.wmfo.org.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Yes, you're listening to WMFO in Medford. We're at 91.5 FM and streaming on the web at WMFO.org. I am Mike Stewart.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Rachel Marie.
Welcome, Rachel.
Thanks.
So let everybody know a little bit about you, your background, how you got into music, what influenced you.
Well, I've been doing music sort of forever. My dad kind of made fun of me recently because apparently I've never really said this to him. I just say it from on stage and on the radio. But he stayed home with me when I was a kid, so he was always writing and singing. And I always sort of thought, well, there's this one guy who's near me all the time, and he sings and writes songs and play the guitar, so I guess that's just what you do, you know?
Also, I forgot to mention, this is a Boston Women Rock segment. Thank you, Aaron. And thank you, Rachel, for coming on to Boston Women Rock also.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. So I sort of let go of my own music when I was, not completely, but somewhat when I was in college and grad school. And the past year or so I've been getting back into it because it felt really natural and it's been super nice.
So what other ways did your father influence you? I mean, did he sit with you and suggest an instrument?
He says that he didn't teach me at all. That's what he swears. He says I like went and just hid and taught myself completely. And I sort of say, you know, I must have popped out of my room at one point and said, you know, hey, Dad, how do you play this chord? And he says, no, you didn't need me for that. You were fine. You just figured out how to play the chords.
Eddie Van Halen did the same thing. So you're in the same league.
Yeah, my mom swears I taught myself to read, too. You know, like, I don't remember any of this. Yeah. But I guess I was just like, nope, it's time for me to do stuff now. Gonna do it.
So... but what musicians outside of your family influenced you? What type of music? Who were some of the artists?
Well, I've been to more Indigo Girls concerts than I can count. That was a huge part of growing up for me and my mom. We were actually upset that they weren't on tour. I guess it's probably because Emily Saylor's just put out a solo album. But we usually see them around our birthdays because our birthdays are a day apart. And they usually just happen to be in Pennsylvania, but that wasn't the case this year. So that was a bummer, but they're huge for me. Patty Griffin is huge for me. I've listened to a whole lot of Paul Simon. I don't know how much his music actually influenced my music, but...
We'll be able to tell you after we hear him play.
Perfect.
And he's listening at... No.
Oh my gosh.
No pressure. So, why don't we have you play something?
Sure.
And then we can talk after.
Cool.
What would you like to play first?
I have a song that's been sort of my theme song for a little bit. And by a little bit, I mean several years. It's called Not Okay.
firmly planted in a false foundation. I am standing up straight for all to see. I will let you in, my walls are thin, and things look different on the inside of me. I am a home that I have built out of paper and pain, limbs stretched to their limit, holding up walls against the rain. And most times I stay standing. I, who do the standing, because I thought I had to be a fortress. Well, you look at me and say that my effort is blessed, and you'll invest in this mess, blood and sweat and tears, and that's okay. And I am not okay. And that's okay. Spend all my time clinging to a life that I don't know what it takes to maintain. This is not a place of rest, just stress, and all I know is to self-sustain. With wallpaper peeling, carpet stained, wood rotting through, I curl up in my center, but my center's rotting too. Burdened and weary, dark and dreary, because I thought I had to be my own rock. Well, you look at me and say that I can't do this by myself, and you'll be my somebody else, that I will always need some help, and that's okay. I am a fixer-upper of a human life, not equipped with the required skill to heal it. I have prayed so hard for this light to warm instead of burn, and God, it's such a joy to feel it, to build a home out of love and not of paper. And I know not everybody needs a savior, but I thought I had to be a fortress. Well, you look at me and say that my effort is blessed, and you'll invest in this mess, blood and sweat and tears, and that's okay. And I am not okay. No, I am not okay. I am not okay. And that's okay.
He influenced you.
Paul Simon?
Storytelling.
Cool. Oh, nice.
Storytelling, okay. And going from transitioning, which is, if you listen to many of his songs, he transitions back and forth.
Okay.
So, but the music and the words are yours. And it's just a reflection of him.
Cool.
So, there's where you got the influence, but your parents are right. It's you.
Awesome.
So, you can't go wrong with that.
Cool.
So who today do you listen to?
Patty Griffin's still huge for me. I saw Patty Griffin for the first time a couple years ago, I think. And that was like a lifelong dream. As for people who are, I mean, she's still, obviously, I saw her a couple years ago. She's still making music. But I think, I guess people who are more contemporary with me, like Julia Nunes is huge for me. I don't know if you know Julia Nunes. She's so cool. And she's one of those people who's like making a living doing videos and Patreon and stuff like that. You know, she's one of the, it's like she and Keena Grannis are sort of in the forefront for how to actually make music and make money making music successfully. And their music is amazing. So,
well, if you're in contact with the Heifer, send her a CD to us. We'd love to play her.
Hmm?
If you're in contact with the Heifer, get in touch with us.
No, I wish.
Yeah.
She's beyond me.
No.
She liked one of my tweets once, though.
There you go.
You know what? You just mentioned her here on WMFO, so send her a note and say...
Cool.
You know, you never know. You never know, because many great artists reach out to other artists who are working their way up, and you never know, because not just being a fan, it's also being a contemporary in what you do.
Yeah.
So,
one, I actually think one of my favorite things about Julia Nunes, this is hysterical, one of my favorite things about Julia Nunes is she's all about helping the little guy. Like, she wants her money to come from her fan base so that she can use her money to raise up other people, and it's never even occurred to me that I could, like, weasel my way into being one of those people.
Well, guess what?
We hope so.
And, where can people find you?
People can find me at www.rachelmarie.com. It's so easy. They can also sign up for my mailing list there. There's a cute button. And if you sign up for my mailing list, the album I have here is from 2012, which when I tell people who are like my parents' age that my album is from 2012, oh, I could show it to my telephone. Ooh. That's available on my website. It's also on Spotify, right? Yes. That's from 2012, and when I tell a lot of people that, they're like, well, that's 5 years old, that's nothing, but that's a fifth of my life. So I'm really excited to be in the process of recording right now, and I'm hoping to release the album that I'm recording currently in May. So if you head to my website and sign up for my mailing list, you'll know all about it. So excited.
And plus, right now, people can see you.
That's true.
On?
Facebook Live.
On my Facebook page, yeah. Which is kind of hard to find because Rachel Marie is such a common name, but Rachel Marie Music is the handle on Facebook. So,
you have another one for us?
Another song?
Absolutely.
Yeah. This song, I saw, I'm going backwards in my head. People have been telling me that I need to see Lisa Bastoni forever, and by forever I mean since I moved here.
We had her on
a couple weeks ago, and she was great.
It took me going to the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance Conference, where she had a semi-formal showcase, for me to see her. I haven't seen her in town, which is ridiculous. But she's so great! And there was a line in one of her songs that's something about, you drove me home with my dress on inside out, and I chuckled out loud, and it made me think of this song. I guess I shouldn't tell you what the line is, because that'll be anticlimactic, but there's one line in this song where people usually chuckle after it, and I thought, oh, that's how people must feel when I sing that line. I'm chuckling at her, singing about her dress being inside out. So, I think this song is called Swing. It's in flux. I'm not sure. It's not out yet, so I have time to decide.
World premiere.
World premiere here on What's Happening.
Yeah.
At WMFO.
Walking a tightrope out in this crisp cold air to have something to feel, and I've learned to cope by embracing the pain, 'cause I know that it's real. This tension, this terrible standing and swinging is true. And you have faith in my balance, but I don't have faith in you. In you. I've never been here. I'm the one who listens, who fixes, who makes things okay. But one thing was clear,
your comfort and caring, not thinking I'm crazy, embracing the questions, the fears, the highs and the lows. But there was summer and Shakespeare and pirates. Where did it go? Well, October came crashing and tumbling, leaving me wondering why. About how you lied. So I swing, and I hope I fall. Built me a fortress. You built me a fort. Between the two of us, we'd tore it all down in a scene of distress, of screaming and cartwheels and stating aloud that I would not run back, would not collapse, would not throw my phone, would convince myself of the strength of a me I had known. Well, I once was a glutton for punishment. I once thought I had something to lose. I once saw a light in this damp, cold, dark. And once I thought it was you. So I swing and you sit and you stare as I try to make me believe that you cared. So I swing and I hope I fall.
So, which was your chuckle line?
Oh, it's the throwing the phone usually gets people.
Well, phones aren't inexpensive these days.
No. I once threw my phone charger across my room.
But not the phone.
Not the phone. And it was just in my living room by myself, eating mac and cheese.
Kraft?
I don't know. My roommate Nick made it for me. I haven't heard from Nick in a long time. I should tell him. I just gave him a shout out on the radio for his excellent college depression mac and cheese making.
And phone throwing times in between.
Yeah.
So, are you doing this full time or are you doing something else?
I work at Darwin's on Cambridge Street. If anyone wants to come by and say hi.
And and compliment her on her great singing.
Oh, thanks.
And so, stepping away and then stepping back into your music.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, reasons, thoughts for up-and-coming musicians and artists who need to take a break and need to get back into it.
I think one of the great things, I'm sure this is in a lot of places, but I think one of the things that made it really easy for me here is there's such a genuine community, especially surrounding folk music and, you know, the acoustic singer-songwriter thing, that it really didn't take long at all when I started, especially when I started doing the Lizard Lounge open mic, it didn't take long at all for me to feel like people like Tom Bianchi and George Woods were really on my team. And then I discovered when I started meeting other singer-songwriters that, like, it's all just a giant team. I felt like in the world of classical music, because I have a master's degree in music, and it's not that I don't love it. There's just something that I felt like I needed about getting back to my own music. But there's also something, there's still community, don't get me wrong, any of my classical music friends, but especially among vocalists, especially among sopranos, it just feels like there's so much competition. And in this singer-songwriter folk world, I really don't feel like I'm in a competition at all. I feel like I'm just on a team now.
That all the water floats all boats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And speaking of George, I know he's got one last gig coming up, so go to George Woods' page because he's going to be taking a break for a little while.
November 16th. Is that Thursday?
November 16th, yes.
Yeah, and then the night after that, you can come see me at the Burren. I'm splitting a bill with Lex Land, who's a singer-songwriter who was originally from Southern California, I believe. She was on the second season of The Voice, which I definitely watched when it was happening, because I've never been into competition shows, but I was super into The Voice because people were actually, I don't know, giving people credible feedback and doing a good job. Anyway, she's in Austin now, but she's going to be in Somerville on Friday, 7 p.m.
And, you know, that's the big thing, the support of other artists, because, you know, you can't become, as we say, you know, the, you know, big groups like, you know, Aerosmith and Boston and Jay Giles and the Cars.
Taylor Swift.
And unless you start off doing open mics and challenging yourself to get out there and not worry how you... You worry how you sound, but you want feedback from other artists. So you go there and you go to the open mics and you listen to other people and stay there and hear them. And that, like you said, the supportive community of you know, many of these other artists.
And in Boston has a great amount. We always mention here on Sunday that Natalie Flanagan has one at Tavern at the End of the World. And there's one.
I haven't made it there yet.
Yeah, she's a great gal. I love her voice. She's a great gal. We have Thunder Road has one on Wednesdays. George Woods has one at the Lizard Lounge. There's one at the Walnut Street Cafe. Yeah, there's great, some great stuff. Yeah, some great stuff out there.
So, why don't we go into another tune?
Cool. People complain about me singing sad songs all the time.
No complaints so far.
Thanks. There are sort of two responses that I've come up with, not come up with, but sort of. But two responses that have sort of fallen into giving when people complain about my music being sad. One of them is, well, maybe you're not my audience then, which started out really sassy, but then really became genuinely like, it's okay. I've come to feel this way about my brother, especially. I think that's what sort of got me over the hump was, it doesn't matter if you don't like my music. You know, you can love me and support me and want me to have a nice career and not like my music, and that's okay. So instead of you complaining about my music being sad, maybe you're just not my audience, and guess what? That's fine for both of us. You know, it started sassy, but it just became a really empowering, like, it's okay for you, and it's okay for me, and no one has to feel bad. but then
so that's
someone came to one of my shows, and I played this song, which is one of my newest songs, and I was like, this song is so happy. All it is about love.
So isn't that sort of taking that line, you know, I am me as you are he as we are all together, and so you don't have to love my music, but we are all together.
And if you do love my music, that's fine, too. That's good.
And we do, so...
Thank you. So this one, I think, is happy. We couldn't have known. We couldn't have dreamed. With our bodies and words trapped in teenage time, what would be on a quest for a love that would not give us up to hold us, and we couldn't stay standing. We didn't know what we were planting. I am with you at your core. You are mine and I am yours. For worse or for better, I'll love you forever. I promise to you, I do.
I promise you I do. The biggest of hearts, the smallest of seeds, sown in the soil of our skin and souls, planted deep. You have always been there underneath it all, helping me bloom when we only knew rain. We didn't know how we would rise up again and again and again. I am with you at your core. You are mine and I am yours. For worse or for better, I'll love you forever. I promise you I do. Most days I don't know if I'm feeding this world, if I'm a seed or a weed or a bee. But I love you and I like you, and it's never been in spite of you. The friend you have in me, that you wake up every day and let me be. I am with you at your core. You are mine and I am yours. For worse or for better, I'll love you forever. I promise you I do. Thank you.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford. This is Boston Women Rock on What's Happening. I am Mike.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Rachel Marie.
And Rachel, I know we spoke at the beginning about playing something a little bit different. Were you able to come up with something?
There was a particular cover that I had in mind, and then I got scared, so I don't know if I'm...
Oh, you know what? Go for it.
I don't even know if I remember how to play it. Is that cheating?
Well, no, because then it becomes yours. So, it's never cheating when you're... or when we're letting you be you.
Wow. So one of the other things I get really sassy about, what a silly way to start a sentence, I get sassy about everything. But one thing I get particularly sassy about, especially having a master's degree in music from Bach on back, is when people are condescending about pop music. So I think there are some incredibly talented pop artists. And when people say things like, they could be doing better things with their talent, I'm like, what? You think Ariana Grande should be singing Bach? Because I think that's ridiculous.
But they're making money. So how are they going wrong?
Exactly. I don't know. But I give up on everything. That's not true. How does this song start?
In the beginning.
That's not how the song starts. That's how the Bible starts. They're different. Okay. I was a liar. I gave into the fire. I know I should have fought it. At least I'm being honest. Feel like a failure. Cause I know that I failed you. I should have done you better. Cause you don't want a liar. And I know and I know and I know she gives you everything. But boy, I couldn't give it to you.